Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
67, the heartbeat of Saskatchewan is agriculture. And 620 CKRM is proud to be your source for everything ag. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with your host, Jim Smalley.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. It's brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op. You're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. Today, the latest Sask Wheat website market outlook says weather is keeping markets volatile and outlines the latest issues with Ukraine trying to sell its wheat. We have the latest weekly outlook on cattle markets from the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture. Ottawa announces a new round of supporting farm clean technology. We have the latest crop report from Manitoba, where seeding is moving very slowly due to a lot of rain. The Ministry of Agriculture has some tips on improving pastures. The farm weather's in its usual spot.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection. And brought to you by Farm Fresh Water. They'll make your well water wonderful and your dugout drinkable. Get your Farm Fresh Water today at farmfreshwater.ca. The latest Sask Week market outlook says technical selling and rain over northern France pressured prices lower late last week. The outlook is prepared by Marlena Borsch of Mercantile Consulting for the Sask Wheat website. She says weather continues to keep markets volatile.
In terms of cash markets last week, we heard of no significant wheat trades last week, and there are few tenders announced for the coming wheat. Jordan returns today for 120,000 tons of wheat for August through September. Bangladesh just got one offer at yesterday's tender at a reported $548.40. At the last tender in April, they paid close to $150 per ton less. This seems to reflect the disappearance of Indian wheat from the world export market. Weekly U.S. wheat export sales of 8,500 tons for 21-22 were at a marketing year low. The Baltic Dry Index, an assessment of the average cost to ship raw materials such as grain and iron ore, increased by 6% on the week to end at 3,300, its highest level this year. A comment on the demand side. According to USDA, global wheat consumption for 22-23 is projected at 788 million tons, down 3 million tons from this ongoing year. This is due to reductions in feed and residual use, which are only partially offset by higher food, seed, and industrial use. High global food price inflation is expected to impact consumers' ability to purchase wheat and wheat products in developing markets and may lead consumers towards alternative food grains. There are some graphs on this in the written report if you want to have a look. To continue, here's some of last week's major news by market. Starting in Canada. Saskatchewan seeding progress for wheat at only 26% as of May 16th, compared to 67% on a five-year average. Alberta seeding progress at 59%, compared to a general five-year average of 55%, is much better. But here, dryness in southern and central Alberta are clearly suboptimal. USDA reported 39% of U.S. spring wheat as planted as of May 15th, compared to the five-year average of 67%.
Borsch says the Russian invasion of Ukraine continues to disrupt world wheat markets.
regarding the Black Sea, the United Nations tried negotiating export corridors for Ukrainian wheat, but Russia refused any talk of food corridors unless all sanctions were stopped. Russia wants to keep the Crimea, capture the Donbas region, and control Black Sea ports. But the Ukraine says they will never agree to ceding any of their territory. This kind of standoff could mean the war may go on for a long time. If the war continues, Ukrainian crops will mostly be lost to the world trade, with some exception to the EU, for the duration of the war. Global production will also suffer from the lack of or excessively expensive supplies of fertilizer, potentially further adding to global food shortages. Putin originally tried holding the West hostage with oil and gas. He now seems to be weaponizing food. To summarize what we consider the most significant events during the past week. Well, the UN tried opening up export corridors for Ukrainian wheat exports, but Russia refused to talk about the corridors without the removal of all sanctions. Russia wants to retain the Crimea and the Donbas, but Ukraine says they will not agree to ceding territory. This could mean the war could go on for a lengthy time. Cash markets in both the EU and the Black Sea remain obscure because of that, but since importers have little cover beyond June, we think they will have to come back into the market in the near future.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch Eavesdrops. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesdrops.ca. And your Prairie Co-op Grow Team, fueling farms, feeding families in Cupar, Ituna, Lipton, and Strasbourg. The federal government has announced a new round under its Agricultural Clean Technology Program. One of the projects is with a BC company called TerraMera. It's working on a way to provide more consistent and precise measurement of soil carbon. Travis Good is TerraMera's Chief Technology Officer.
Our technology to measure key soil health indicators is undergoing development and testing right now and will use proximal sensing fused with other data to measure soil health, including soil carbon, both the mineral-associated organic matter and particulate organic matter, meaning both more permanent sources of carbon and sources that change more over time.
Good says measurements will also include nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium.
However, unlike traditional soil testing, we will be able to provide and use our novel sensor to give this measurement in real time and in field without costing farmers more than they pay now.
The announcement was made yesterday at TerraMera facility in Vancouver. Saskatchewan feeder cattle prices had some upward movement during the past week. Provincial cattle specialist Fonda Froats compiled the weekly cattle market update for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture.
Feeder steer prices were up over the week from the previous week, but there were only two weight categories we were able to compare week over week. So the largest price increase was in the 400 to 500 pound weight category, which increased $2 per hundredweight to average $2.42 for the week. Average weekly prices for the heifers ranged from $206.42 per hundredweight for the 400 to 500 pound category to $169.33 per hundredweight for the 800 pound category. There was a drop of $123 per hundredweight in the 700 to 800 pound weight category, which was the only category that was reported over the previous 2 weeks. Overall, heifers were mixed from where most weight categories were last reported 2 weeks ago, but up considerably over the last year.
And what were the factors behind these price changes?
Well, normally with the dollar being up slightly last week and marketings are up, higher feed grain prices, we would expect the markets to be down. But we're seeing, I guess, a seasonal decline in inventory, and that with tighter supply outlook are both factors. And the beef demand is also strong.
What were marketings?
CanFax reported a total of 8,634 head sold in Saskatchewan last week, which was up from 4,457 the previous week and above 6,221 the same week last year.
What happened with market-ready cattle prices?
prices of live non-fed cattle in Alberta for the week ending May 20th were down compared to the previous week, May 13th. The price of D2 slaughter cows was down 355 per hundredweight from the previous week to average 103.14. The price of D3 slaughter cows seen a similar price drop of 258 per hundredweight to average 90.92 per hundredweight. Despite these prices being down last week, they do remain strong. So we're seeing between the high feed prices and dry conditions in many areas, producers are more readily selling these cattle.
Fonda Froats compiled the latest weekly cattle market update for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. Hey, well, we had some big news out of Health Canada this week, and here to break down what it all means for farmers across the country is Pierre Patel. He's President and CEO of CropLife Canada. Pierre, break down what, because the press release, I got to be honest, was a little bit, I was confused on what the actual outcome is here. What did Health Canada decide this week?
Yeah, so they finally released a long-awaited policy clarification on plant breeding innovation. So basically gene editing, but also affects all types of plant breeding in Canada. And it provided clarity about what's in and what's out, what needs a full review versus what doesn't. It clarified some criteria that the department would use when determining how much of an assessment would be required. So it's great news in the sense that there was a lot of ambiguity and plant breeders never knew what was going to trigger a full safety review. And sometimes innovations were put on a shelf because they didn't want to risk triggering that and all the data requirements and time that took. So it's a great development.
Now, does this bring Canada in line with where other countries were, or does this put us ahead from a regulatory standpoint? Where do we sit compared to the rest of the world?
Yeah, so when we started this process, we would have been ahead by a wide margin. But because it's taken so many years to actually get them to get to this point, many countries have kind of gotten ahead of us. So, you know, the U.S., Australia, and a number of other countries, South American countries, have clarified already the gene editing or plant breeding requirements. And so this is a little bit of a catch-up. But for Canada, this policy from Health Canada is about as clear and predictable and science-based as we've seen anywhere in the world. So we're very pleased.
So, Pierre, can you give us an example, some context of, like, what exactly can happen now? Like, because you said there's stuff in, there's stuff out. What does that mean?
Well, it provides clarity for whether you're a university researcher or a plant breeder for, you know, a multinational or a small company. It provides clarity. So if you're using a gene editing technique, now, if you know that that you're not creating a novel trait that something that already exists, but you're using a gene editing technology, now you've got predictability on your pathway to commercialization. You know whether or not you're going to trigger a full safety review and, you know, the multi-year process that entails or not. And so before, like I said, what the problem was is that there was too much ambiguity and people didn't know if it was going to trigger a full GMO review or whether it was going to be treated more like a traditional plant breeding product. And so we did a survey of plant breeders and we had 30 or 40% of them saying that they had shelved an innovation because they thought it might trigger a full review.
Oh, okay. So this also could have a factor in also increasing or at least stabilizing investment into plant breeding as well.
Absolutely. And whether, like I said, whether it's small, public or private breeders or large companies, now we've got predictability. We can, really push Canada as a place to invest and to bring those technologies for Canadian farmers. And what it means for farmers is potentially many, many more choices coming down the road and innovative products, niche products for a variety of different crops. So it is really good news.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about which crop types. Is this across the whole spectrum from pulses to corn, or is it more in the area of corn, soybeans, and canola?
Honestly, it's everything. And the way plant breeding is going, gene editing is going to become much more the standard because of its predictability and precision. And so, all the grains and oilseeds, potentially pulse crops, fruit and vegetables too. There's a lot of research going on in those areas in the horticulture sector as well. You know, it brings great precision. So instead of trying to do multiple crosses over multiple generations, you can pinpoint exactly what trait you're looking for and do that and get the outcome you want in a very short manner. And if you're not changing the basic physiology of the plant, you're not triggering a novelty, what we call a novelty determination. If it's something you could have achieved through traditional plant breeding, then your data requirements will be very minimal and the review will be very, you won't need a full review by Health Canada.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at Real Agriculture.
It's your agro weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Increasing cloudiness today, 30% chance of showers late this afternoon with risk of a thunderstorm. Wind southwest 30 gusting to 50, and the high today 24 degrees, the low 8. For Thursday, partly cloudy, wind northwest 20, the high 26, tomorrow the low 12. Friday, cloudy, 30% chance of showers, the high 22, the low 11. Saturday, sunny with a high 22, 60% chance of showers, the low 10. Sunday, cloudy, 60% chance of showers, the high 14, the low 7. Monday, partly cloudy with a high 16, the low 5. Tuesday, partly cloudy, the high near 16. Normal high for this date, 21. The normal low is 6. The sun rose at 4:59 this morning. It sets at 8:52 tonight. And around the province, the hot spot is Nipawin, 25 degrees. The cold spot even further north, Key Lake, at 6 degrees. Estevan is 20. Saskatoon, 23. Swift Current, 20. Weyburn and Yorkton, both 22. Regina, cloudy and 23. That's 73 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the south at 24, gusting to 37. Humidity is 26%. The barometric pressure dropping 100.9. Cloudy and Moose Jaw, 23. Winds are from the south, southwest, 18, gusting to 35. Once again, Regina, cloudy and 23. That's 73 Fahrenheit.
This spring, apply pre-emergent Edge Microactive Group 3 herbicide from Gowan, Canada, before seeding your canola, peas, or lentils. Maximize yield today and manage resistance tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan, Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com, and brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Heavy rain have again slowed seeding efforts in western Manitoba, according to this week's crop report. Manitoba seeding progress sits at about 10% complete, behind the five-year average of 77% for this date. Manitoba Agriculture Farm Production Advisor Amir Farouk has an update on seeding.
So in the southwest region, we had last week, 3-4 days was very like rainy days, and we got 1 to 2 inch of rain in different areas of the southwest region. Most of that rain was close to 45 highway, like in Oakburn and Shoal Lake area, close to 55 to 60 millimeter of rain. So there was still wet condition in most of the areas. But then on the weekend and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and this was a long weekend, and we got some good weather conditions, and farmers started to go out, and there is some seeding happening right now. And I would say we are still close to 10% done in our area.
Farouk outlines the types of crops being seeded.
Farmers are just seeding whatever is suitable in that field. Like peas and cereals are the major thing, and not much canola yet. So mostly they are seeding peas and cereal at this point.
Farouk expects a lot of seeding activity over the next few days, with the possibility of more rain coming to western Manitoba by the weekend.
Oh, definite. So most of farmers are trying their best to, as much as they can, finish the seeding. So definite. They are doing with full strength.
Farouk says pastures are improving.
They are greening up, and a little bit cold weather during the nights, but I think daytime weather is getting very nice, and all the pastures are start to green up, and it's coming out nice. And same thing, our winter cereals, they are also coming out nice, and hopefully those winter wheat and fall rye will do better as well.
Farouk adds most dugouts in Manitoba have adequate water.
Dugouts are filled, and right now at this point we have adequate supply of water. So there is no shortage in any area of Southwest region.
Farouk outlined seeding progress in Northwest Manitoba.
They got very much lot of rains in Deepah and Swan River in that area in last week as well. So I think they are pretty wet as well. But things are starting to coming in the better side, hopefully, with these dry days. So hopefully these days will help those areas as well.
Farouk says farmers need several weeks of warm, dry weather to wrap up seeding in Manitoba.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelmann Industries. Look to Degelmann for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. The agri-environmental specialist in Kindersley has some tips for farmers on improving pasture productivity. Chelsea Siemens is with the Ministry of Agriculture in West Central Saskatchewan.
One factor outside our control is moisture. During dry conditions, it might seem like there's nothing we can do to manage or influence pasture condition. However, decisions made during tough conditions will continue to impact pasture in the following years. What can we do to preserve pastures and improve their chance at recovery? We can't change what we don't measure. Start with an inventory of pasture and forage acres and the expected production. What is the forage demand of the livestock? Consider the number and type of livestock and the length of the grazing season, then calculate the shortfall between livestock demand and forage availability. Next, consider how the shortfall will be addressed. We can increase forage supply by renting additional grazing or purchasing supplemental feed, decrease demand by culling or retaining fewer replacements, or shorten the grazing season by beginning to feed earlier in the fall. Rest is the best rejuvenation for overgrazed pasture. Even during dry conditions, decreasing the frequency of grazing in a particular area will improve the forage's ability to survive. Removing livestock from an area following grazing, rather than allowing continuous access, will allow for some rest and recovery, which will benefit the forage in the long term. Try to mitigate the impact of activities necessary to get through dry years. If providing supplemental feed on pasture, confine these activities to a small area to decrease the overall impact. Don't use native pasture or riparian areas as supplemental feeding sites. In a year with very little carryover and few other options for feed, the small steps we can take to preserve pasture health are important for future productivity and the condition of our forage resources. For more information on pasture management, contact your local regional services office or call the Agriculture Knowledge Center at 1-866-457-2377.
Chelsea Siemens is the agro-environmental specialist with the Ministry of Agriculture.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market Update is brought to you by Freeze Tallman Lumber and Sass Pork, working on behalf of Saskatchewan hog producers and our community. Grain prices were showing downward movement in early trading today. Viterra prices for canola fell 970 at 1102.62. Number one red spring wheat went down 1254 at 534.01. The rest were unchanged. Durum 587.90. Feed barley 387.54. Flax 1212.73. Lentils 922.50. Oats 451.53. Yellow peas 617.33. Feed wheat 378.30. At Minneapolis, July spring wheat fell 34 cents at $12.44.25.
It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn, 842-4574. And now, the latest livestock quotes.
This is the market report for the Weyburn Livestock Exchange for the week of May 24th. Our last regular sale was on May 11th. D1 and D2 cows sold from 97 cents to $1.12. D3 cows sold from 85 cents to 96 cents. Canner cows sold from 50 cents to 65 cents. Heiferettes sold from $1.30 to $1.50, and good butcher bulls sold from $1.20 to $1.38, with the odd sale up to $1.44. We had a few heifers at this sale. 600 to 650 pound heifers averaged $1.90 and sold it to $1.94. 650 to 700 pound heifers averaged $1.89 and sold it to $1.92. 700 to 800 pound heifers averaged $1.79 and sold it to $1.83. 800 to 900 pound heifers averaged $1.77 and sold up to $1.80. We had a handful of steers at that sale. They weighed between 700 and 800 pounds and they sold for $2.12. This has been Stephanie Digg reporting from the Weyburn Livestock Exchange, the market that gets cattle and the prices too.
And now the latest Saskatchewan pork prices.
Ham sold 11,000 hogs Tuesday, selling in a range of $230 to $245 per CKG. Today's sales are expected to be around 8,000 head, selling in a range of $233 to $248 per CKG. Hams number 1 sows this week are down sharply, selling in the range of 54 to 61 cents per pound of live weight. Hams cash hog price today is mixed, and four contract prices open mixed this morning. On Tuesday, the Canadian dollar was up 2 basis points, with the daily exchange rate at 1.2826. The Canadian dollar is currently trading at 77.89 cents U.S. Daily U.S. cash prices are higher, with the Western Corn Belt up 16 cents, while the national-based formulas advanced $1.27 U.S. 100 weight relative to the previous day. The weekly trend is also upward for the marketing week. Cumulatively, the Western Corn Belt is up $3.98, National is $2.19 higher, and the National Cutout Adjusted Base is $2.26 higher compared to the week ago base. After trading in a choppy and two-sided pattern for weeks, the net value of the cutout is seeing some gains this week and is so far up $4.08 U.S. 100 rate, or the fifth highest week-over-week increase in 2022. Lean hog futures have settled into a sideways pattern over the last 3 sessions, including today on relatively late news and a steady trade. Last week, the market bounced from the lows and made a notable advance on Friday, but the momentum has cooled somewhat, albeit with a slight bias to the upside. The higher levels seen earlier this seemed to be a bit out of reach, however, and ideas that the summer prices would reach 2021 levels does not seem realistic, at least for the June timeframe. Regardless, prices are still comparatively high, with both cash and futures at their third highest values for the marketing week on record.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by Second Look Online Auction. Visit 2ndlookonlineauction.com to see what's up for bid. And brought to you by Mandaco. Talk to your Mandaco dealer or visit Mandaco.com to learn more about Mandaco land rollers and tillage equipment. Fertilizer production at the Bethune Potash Mine is projected to double over the next couple decades. K-Plus S Group has released a global strategy for the relatively new Bethune Mine northwest of Regina. The final production capacity is intended to grow continuously over the next couple decades and is currently targeted toward 4 million metric tons per year, effectively doubling the current production output. The company is undertaking a feasibility study, mapping out the future milestones of growth and timelines for supporting projects. Chief Operating Officer Holger Riemensberger says optimizing business at the Bethune Mine enhances the strong position of the company as an internationally oriented producer of minerals critical to agriculture and other industries. He adds the Bethune mine is looking at safely and sustainably growing profitability while also reducing environmental impact and building a more inclusive workforce. He says the company is looking at hiring more than 100 additional employees in areas like engineering, IT, operations, trade, and supporting roles. The company employs over 400 people at the Bethune Mine and Saskatoon and Port Moody, BC offices. On the markets, the TSX is up 32 points to 20,318. The Dow has fallen 84 points to 31,844. Oil has risen 9 cents at 109.86 per barrel. The Canadian dollar is down 15 one-hundredths of a cent at 77.84 cents U.S. That's the resource report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the On Demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620CKRM.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, following the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag. 620 CKRM.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.